Please come back with me to our scripture for today from 1 Peter chapter 5. And our focus is from verse 6 to verse 11. And in case some of you may be wondering, as I've told you before, I consider myself doing all of this on training wheels. So once in a while I may fall off. Don't laugh. But in case of you, some of you are wondering what I'm doing up here when I'm preaching, my preference for this time is to expose the word of Scripture to you. To be faithful to the word of God, this is called expository preaching. It's not topical, not textual. It is more dealing with the very word of God that is before us. We are a church, and I think it ought to be that way. Amen? Oh, that's a weak amen. Well, but I'll still do it. So the text is before you. You're encouraged to bring your Bible, and you can mark it up and do anything you want with it if it is yours. And appreciate what is written in the Word of God. Love what is written in the Word of God. And we do what is written in the Word of God. We strive for the care of others in life. However, we find ourselves living in a world that is less than caring. The psychological dependence we all develop in childhood somehow remains with us as we go through life. So by and large, many people are constantly looking for someone to care. St. Peter is writing here to believers in a region in his time that would be called Northern Asia Minor. And these believers are going through extreme hardships. Peter describes their difficulties as fiery trials. Under such circumstances, people are distressed and distracted and even depressed. Now, certainly, you and I do not have problems like theirs, but we have our own burdens, our own problems, don't we? Well, every other place I've been, they had problems, so I think you may have some too. And many of us fight or deal with our problems all by ourselves. We don't let anybody else into our stuff. And all of us have pre-programmed ways of dealing with the issues of life. Some people turn to alcohol. Some turn to drugs. Some turn to comfort food, you know, like chocolate. Or some just isolate themselves in the house, close the windows, draw the blinds, shut the world out, leave me alone. Yes, we have our programmed ways of dealing with the bad stuff of life, the cares, the anxieties, the worries, the frustrations. But our text today tells us there is a better way. There is the way that Jesus describes when he say, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." There is the way that Peter is describing here when he says in verse 7, "Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." So today we want to talk about casting our cares on the Lord. The cares of life come upon all of us, and you and me. So what do we do? Peter is saying here, first of all, rely on the Lord. How? Cast your cares upon him. Now, when he talks about cares, he is talking about the stuff we know, right? The anxieties, the worries, the problems, the everyday things that drag us down. Now, the Greek word behind our word care, merimna, it really talks about the things in life that distract us. they pull at us and they make us, as it were, go in different directions responding. So the cares are the things we are preoccupied with, trying forever to respond. So, for example, people fret. They worry. They anticipate bad things happening. They are always crossing bridges before they come to them. They nurse their hurts. They brood over past wrongs. Yeah, the cares of life. So for some of us here today, we may have great anxieties because of our finances. Man told me, I think it was yesterday, he said, when the market went down, I lost $80,000. Now that's a care. It may be we're worried about our health. Something has showed up in a blood test or an x-ray, a biopsy. And we're worried about that. Or you may be worried about growing old, where you would be. How would I pass out my remaining years of life? Peter says, take such anxieties, such worries, and cast them upon the Lord. Now, you know what the word cast means, right? To throw from here to there, right? There to here, throw. But there's something else to that verb. Because in the Greek, the verb is in what we call the aorist tense. It's a tense that speaks of completed action. Now, what does that mean? He is saying, cast your burdens on the Lord. Do it once and for all. It isn't something you do every day about the same problem. No, you give it to God once and for all. The aorist tense, completed action, not continuous. Cast your burden. Hand it over to the Lord. Now, why should he do that? Because he cares for you. Now, the word care there is a little different. He has an interest in you. He cares for you. Now, the Greek verb here is a little tricky too. It is not the aorist tense, which is once, done, and for all. It is a continuous tense. He cares for you, it means he continually, right? He continuously, he is always caring for you. Since we are always in need, God is always caring for us. Some people think God does not care, but he does. Some think God is not able, but he is. Get out of the dark room where you develop the negatives of life. Rely on the Lord. He cares for you. So you may be here today going through something very difficult, and you may feel nobody cares for you. Remember verse 7, he cares for you. There's a little story of a man who was in his prison cell. And there he felt so cut off from the world, so lonely. He took a stone and he scratched on the wall. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Now you could imagine waking up every morning and watching something like that, right? Starting your day with something before you saying, nobody cares. And one day, a seed that was lodged in a crack of the wall germinated, and a little plant began to grow. And he would save some of the water that he got, and he poured it on that plant. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it made its way up to the little window where the light was coming in. And soon it sent out a beautiful blue flower, and he looked at it. And his spirit was refreshed. He went back to the wall. He picked up his stone. He scratched out nobody and he wrote God. God cares. God cares. God cares for you. So what troubles you today? What kept you from sleeping last night? What issue plays in your mind, as it were, and you can't turn it off, you can't stop it? It's always there. Rely on God. Cast your anxieties upon the Lord. George Mueller, a great servant of God of generations past by, he used to tell the story of a little boy who was walking down the road with a heavy load on his shoulder, and a man stopped by in his horse-driven cart and offered the boy a lift. And the fellow got on and he sat down and the load was still on his shoulder. And the driver said, "Why don't you put the load down?" He said, "I don't want to burden the horse." You got it. You are in Christ. He already has your burdens and your cares. Just give them to him. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. So how do we do that? Verse 6 tells us, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time." Why am I talking about this? I'll tell you why. Many of us, when problems come, what is our attitude? "Oh, I could fix this." You know what I mean? "I could Google this problem. I could go to the yellow pages. I could get a solution." Humble yourselves before God. You can't fix it. Only God can. Rely on the Lord. He cares for you. But before that, leaving this, I want to show you something else, friends. He cares for you. Now, some of you did some English in school, right? You see at the end of verse 7, those two little pronouns, he and you, not he cares for us, you. Now, can you name a person that could replace that pronoun he? Can you name a person who could replace this he? Who cares for you? Do you think Governor Snyder cares for you? Now, I wasn't expecting that response. Well, let me try this one. Do you think President Obama cares for you? I know where we are now. He cares for you. There's a little story coming out of the 1980s when things were very bad in the country. You remember those days? When people were leaving the Rust Belt and going down to the Sun Belt looking for jobs. Anybody remember those times? Difficult times in the country. We got through them. We'll get through these. And this story is about a family that had left up here and went down to the Sun Belt area, and they were living in the little camper. And the father heard that the president was coming into town and that Air Force One would be flying over, and he knew that where he was camped, that he could see Air Force One flying over. So he took his little son outside to see this, you know, eventful thing. And as Air Force One passed by, the father pointed up to the son and said, "Son, you see our president, he is coming into town. This is Air Force One going to make its landing." And as they looked up at Air Force One, the little fellow holding his dad's hand, he asked his dad, "Dad, do you think he sees us? Do you think he sees us? Here we are struggling to make it. Do the people in Washington see you? Do they see us?" God sees us. He cares for you. So how we deal with our issues? Rely on the Lord. He, who is the he? He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who suffered, bled, and died for us. And he showed us his care by giving his life. He cares for you. But secondly, how do we deal with the cares of life? We rely on the Lord. Now, I hope you're ready for this one. We must resist the devil. Verse 9. Discipline yourself, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. Resist the devil. So there is one who cares for us, God, and there is one who does not care what happens to you, the devil. If you're here today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is your enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, roaring to scare you. He is not a lion. He behaves like a lion. He wants to swallow you up. So what do you do? Verse 9, resist him. How? By standing firm in your faith. Be sober, be watchful, master your thoughts, master your emotions, control your impulses. Resist the devil. But you may say to me, preacher, I don't believe there's a devil. Well, the devil is very pleased to hear you say that. And he has you just where he wants you. The devil is no myth. It's no imaginary thing where the Bible is concerned. Do you know that Jesus warned us about the devil and his ways? Do you know that Jesus was tempted by the devil? So how could you say, I don't believe in the devil? That's a devilish thing to say. The devil is real. Now, please, do not confuse reality here. He walks around like a lion. Lion in the text is figurative. It's a figure of speech. But the devil is real. He's the agent behind many of our frustrations or hurts or worries or depressions. Many of the bad things that happen to believers happen because of this evil one. So I cannot afford to be neutral where the devil is concerned. Peter tells us, if you want to get over your cares, your worries, your hurts, resist the devil. Resist the devil. And remember that you are not the only one suffering. Your brothers and sisters around the world face the same hardship. Resist the devil. Now, we should not think that because we are Methodists, we are off limits from the devil, right? Don't think because you're a committee member that the devil won't come after you. He comes after you harder. I read a piece some time ago, USA Today, 2009, October it was, and it featured a story coming out of Hickory, North Carolina, and it asked the question, what kind of personal pain would cause a 42-year-old pastor to abandon his family, his calling, and even life itself? And it went on to say something like this. Members of a Baptist church are here asking that question after their pastor committed suicide in his car parked last September. But Baptists in the Carolinas are soul searching because there have been a spate of suicide among pastors. In addition to the September suicide of David Treadway, two others did it in North Carolina, and three in South Carolina. Satan is real. He comes after us all, crushing us with the issues, the burdens of life. If we don't know how to handle them, we succumb. Resist him. In the name of God, resist him. The cares of life come, how do I deal with them? I rely on the Lord. I must resist the devil. And now verse 10 tells me, I will receive the blessing. For after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. And what you have to see here is, our sufferings are just for a little while, right? Let's not give up. Let's persist. Let's resist. Joy comes in the morning. Today we deal with the hurts, the frustrations, the problems of life. Tomorrow there is the kingdom of God. But until such time, Peter is telling us, the God of all grace will sustain us. How? You see these verbs? I don't have time to get into them. He will restore you. He will support you. He will strengthen you. He will establish you. God will give you what it takes to get through the cares of life. A widow who was known for her successfully raising a number of children was asked by a reporter to tell a story. This woman had raised 6 children of her own and 12 that she had adopted. But she always was known for her stability and her calm and her confidence. So the reporter asked, well, tell us, what's the secret of your success here? And the woman said, you see, well, I've made it because I'm in partnership. I'm in partnership. Many years ago, I said, Lord, I will do the work, and you will do the worrying. A very simple contract with God, right? I do the work, you do the worrying. There's a blessing to be received. Back in 1999, Duke University did a study of nearly 4,000 adults, older adults, I should say. And one of the conclusions of that study was that attendance at a house of worship is related to lower rates of depression and anxiety. Does that sound like good news? Some of you don't look so. That if you come to church, you may have a low rate of depression and anxiety. Well, I wish I could look at the internals of the data, and I wish I could see what controls were used, you know, for this particular study. Because I don't think just coming to church would lower depression and anxiety. Actually, it could raise it, isn't it so? Oh, yes. Have you ever dealt with some church people? That's why Jesus spent his time among prostitutes and wine bibbers, and those, you know, he knew religious folk. I don't think it's just not just coming to church, does it? What helps us deal with our cares, our depressions, our anxieties, our hurts, and our frustrations is more our time with God and his word. Amen? Our daily study, our daily devotion, our daily prayers. What helps us is daily relying on the grace of God. What helps us is the support of a community like this, where you could find someone to confide in and know there is another in the flesh who cares for you. How do we deal with the hurts of life, the cares of life? Rely on the Lord. Resist the devil. Receive the blessing, for the God of all grace will strengthen, support, establish you. And so Peter ends in 11, he says, to him be the power forever and ever. He has the power to see you through. So think of your life. What are you dealing with? He has the power to see you through. We're going to sing number 510. Please remain seated. Come ye disconsolate.